So both Hebrews and Luke this morning talk somewhat about hospitality. So I want to give us a sense of what it looked like for Jesus and the people there when he spoke to them. But first, did you notice they were having dinner on the Sabbath? And I thought, oh my goodness, they're having dinner on the Sabbath. Those servants had to work to prepare that meal. What happened to the Sabbath rules of no work? So hopefully they prepared it ahead of time. But so Jesus is gathered with the Pharisees in their home. And the way they would have a meal would be not sitting at tables like we have. You know, they didn't have tables and chairs. They had cushions where they would recline on the cushions, and there might be something in front of them to put the food on. But the way that the cushions were organized were kind of, as you move towards the center, the closer you were to the center was the closest to places of honor. So when Jesus spoke this parable about the wedding feast, the bride and groom would definitely, especially the groom, would be in the place of honor. And then as things progressed out to the rest of the room, it was where you stood in that community. It's a little bit like our wedding planning these days, where we have the tables all arranged, and luckily you have table cards and place settings, so you know not to sit at the wrong table, but so you don't get embarrassed. And, you know, as preachers often, we're in the back, because we're the ones that you quite don't know where to put us. You invite us to the meal, but who do they know? And so one of my friends said we end up at the grandparents' table. But, you know, table settings and who sits at the right and who sits at the left, all of that becomes an issue for us in our own vanity of who is important and who is not important. And Jesus is speaking to them about that, about how when we're not very hospitable, we can be very rude and hurt people's feelings. We can shame people when they go to sit someplace because we don't think they're sitting. We have someone we want to sit there, and they got that seat. Now, that never happens in church, does it? We never tell anyone that you're in my pew, hopefully. But Jesus goes on to speak a little bit more about what he means by hospitality. And he talks to that Pharisee about who we should invite to a banquet. And he says, maybe you shouldn't invite the people who will invite you back. You know, you don't invite the guests that you can't wait to go to their house and see what it looks like. You invite the people who are in need of a good meal. You invite the people who might be neglected in your community to let them know that they are loved, that this is a feast just for them. And, you know, in communion, we talk about that heavenly banquet and all in the table that we'll be sitting at. And I still think that that table will stretch for miles and miles and miles. And we will have paupers and princes feasting together at that heavenly banquet. And we'll all look like Jesus. We'll sort of look like Jesus. Just as we are with Jesus shining through. So I was thinking about the tables that I knew of, the people who had offered that kind of hospitality. And one of my first thoughts had to do with a church I belonged to in Spokane, Washington. It was Central United Methodist Church. It sat on the corner of 3rd and Howard. And it was one of those big, big old churches that at one time had 500 people in attendance, had a balcony that was full, and then the highway came and went right through downtown. And the population moved out into the suburbs, and Central became this small congregation in a huge sanctuary. Well, there was a woman there, and I can remember what she did, but I can't remember her name. She was a woman who, in her younger years, said Spokane needed Meals on Wheels. And she created the Meals on Wheels program for the seniors there. Now, she was in her 70s or 80s when I met her, and she believed that Central needed to start feeding the homeless. Now, in the city of Spokane, every church or every night was covered but a couple nights, and we tipped Thursday night, and our fellowship hall was in our basement, and we started feeding the homeless on Thursday nights in the basement of Central. The thing that we did that showed hospitality in a different light is when you're homeless and you're living on the streets, your backpack has in it some things that keep you safe. Sometimes they're knives. Some may have guns, but some have rocks and anything that protects them when they're on the street and someone's even trying to get their tree for bed. So normally, when you go into a shelter or you go into a church or you go into a place that feeds you, they ask you to leave your belongings outside the door because they don't want something to happen within the facility that harms them. And I think recently in Duck, they had an incident at Duck United Methodist Church where someone got harmed in their shelter. So we never asked. They sat at the table with their backpacks or their bags or their satchels with them. And over time, not only did they sit at the table, but we sat at the table with them. But we did that because this woman, in her late 70s, early 80s, felt it was important because at Central, right across the street, we had one of those houses that housed the people that had limited income. We knew the kids on the streets that walked the streets because in Spokane, in Washington, at 14, you can be emancipated. So we had 14-year-olds walking the streets, and we had people who cultivated them and created families in the woods of Spokane. All of those gathered with us. And eventually, at times, people would come up into the sanctuary and worship with us on Sundays. But this woman's hospitality was for all those in her neighborhood who needed a good meal. After Leo and I had left, I heard they entered into a second night where they fed as well. But a little closer to home than Spokane, Washington, is Asheville, North Carolina. In Asheville, there is a church that worships Sunday mornings in their sanctuary, but on Wednesday at noontime, I think it's called Blackhorn, Wednesday at noontime, they serve community meals. And there's a couple people got interviewed who go to Wednesday noontime worship, who are lawyers and doctors, and they said, yeah, Sunday mornings I worship at this church, but Wednesday afternoons I worship at this church. So you have doctors and lawyers besides homeless men, homeless women, maybe mentally handicapped men and women, but they're worshiping together, they're cooking together, they're serving together, they're eating together. That is the hospitality that Jesus is calling us to have. And here in rural North Carolina, it may be a little bit difficult to have those kind of meals, have those kind of settings. But what we all have are homes. We have homes that we could consider inviting our friends, our neighbors, people we haven't seen in church in a long time, into our home. Have a meal. Begin to reestablish the relationships that may have fallen away. And maybe, just maybe, God will be present there, and in that presence of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, the people may remember that they are beloved children of God and may remember that there's a larger community that gathers on Sunday mornings and worships the God who calls us into that hospitable relationship. And we've started some of that. You know, our fourth Saturdays, I was telling someone, what happens now is we have five families that come every fourth Saturday. Five families who we look forward to seeing. They talk to us. Some of them worship elsewhere, but they're part of our community, and the relationships are growing. But the other piece of that is we are growing older, and sometimes hospitality is reaching out to the ones who can't make it to church on time, who can't make it to church, who need to know through all of us how loved they are. You have relationships with them that started when you were in kindergarten, that started when even before then, that maybe started in the nursery here at Plank Chapel. Don't neglect those who are left behind simply because They're not capable of being here anymore. They're still part of who we are. Jesus asks us to remember to be humble in our hospitality. Asks us to remember that people need to know how loved and important they are to God and to us. We can't solve the world crisis. We know that. We have people in offices who can't solve the world crisis. God can solve them all, but what we can solve in our own community is that sense of being lost, lonely, and neglected. Hebrews 1 and 2 said to us this morning, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. We have been a very hospitable church over the years. Maybe God is calling us to go one step further, to be a little bit more hospitable, to see the ones in our community who we don't know and welcome them first into our homes. We used to knock on the doors and say, hey, come to church and here's a welcome bag. They don't want to see us anymore at that door. They're afraid we might be asking them to do something strange. But they will hear an invitation of, hey, we're having hot dogs tonight. You want to come and join us? The chapel chatter this month talks about a turquoise table. It talks about the whole system of the common table. It talks about how we can begin to reestablish our community as what it was. I came here 13 years ago. You'd already become the community you are today in many ways. But some of you remember much earlier than that, when you had gatherings together, when you visited one another, when you were a community that knew each other's children in the yard, knew all about one another. Well, we got new people in our community. Who are they? Are we reaching out? Are we being as hospitable as we can? The church is not quite has the reputation that it used to have. And I'm not talking Plank Chapel, United Methodist Church. I'm talking about God's church, the church, Christ's church, has a reputation that we're either hypocrites or we're either too progressive or we're either too conservative. You name it. People are calling us things that we are not. We are followers of Jesus Christ, who love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and spirit, and love our neighbor, our enemy, each other, and ourselves, as God calls us to love. But they need to see that. They don't need to know what the media is telling them. They need to see Christ in us, reaching out to the Christ in them. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.